not understand how God in His great love could ask Him for the only Son He had. Yet when it seemed to Him all hope was dim, His faithless promise sang, God will provide.
Thank you, men. Open your Bible this evening to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. While you're finding your place, let me remind you of major changes in our schedule for the week. Our Wednesday night services are moved to Tuesday night for this week only. That way, our people that are going out of town to be with family won't have to skip church on Wednesday night to get a head start. They can come to church on Tuesday night at 7:30, and Wednesday night when they get off work, they're ready to go. And we do that to accommodate them. And then on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we have and have had for the 21 years I've been here as pastor, Thanksgiving Day services. And the church had Thanksgiving Day services prior to my coming here. And so on Thursday at 10:30, we'll have a one-hour service, 10:30 to 11:30, and they'll be singing. There'll be a 15-minute Thanksgiving message, and there'll be testimonies, and we'll conclude it with a time of prayer and thanksgiving as families. Here's a church meeting together. And we want to invite you to come if you have family coming in. bring them with you, and it's a 1 hour service. You can put your turkey on and your dressing on and have it ready when you get back home for the big meal and so forth. But let's make sure we don't forget to take a time to give thanks to our God and our Savior for His goodness. What a terrible thing it would be for Christians to have Thanksgiving, celebrate Thanksgiving, and never turn it into a time of thanking God. If you found your place in Luke chapter 8, stand with me, please, and we shall begin to read in verse number 22. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he, Jesus, fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." I want to speak to you tonight, our second sermon in the three sermon series, Going Through Storms. Last Sunday evening, we preached about the man who stirred the storm, Jonah. And the truth is, Jonah's a picture of many of us who have stirred a storm in our life as we've tried to avoid the will of God and run from the will of God for our lives. Tonight, I want to speak on the subject, the man who stills the storm. Next Sunday night, we'll talk about the man who stood the storm. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God and how that every avenue and aspect of our life is dealt with and covered in the Scripture. We don't have to wonder what we ought to do, or where we ought to go, or what we ought to believe, because you've given us the Bible. If we just take the Word of God and study it, and read it, and hide it in our heart, it would revolutionize our life. Now, Lord, tonight, help me to be very practical. Every one of us at one time or another goes through a storm. We face storms in our life. Lord, we need to know who it is that can calm that storm and bring peace once again to our lives. We need to understand why you send storms and allow storms to come into our lives. Help me now as I bring this message to be instructive and helpful and encouraging. And may that people learn from tonight's message and grow and become more and more of what you would have us to be. If there be anyone here tonight that's unsaved, I cannot think of a greater storm than going through life knowing that you are lost and knowing that we're about to face an eternity in hell without God. Oh, the turmoil, the tempest, the terror, the fear, the uncertainty. God, would you save them tonight? And for your children that are going through storms, whether it be those that they have stirred because of their disobedience, like Jonah, or whether it be storms that you allow in our life to grow us and strengthen us or test us or prove us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to trust in you. Help us not to throw aside what we know and believe as spiritual truth and panic. But help us to use what faith we have and just put our confidence in you and hold on to the anchor that will never give way. Now, Lord, I need you tonight. Help me as I preach. And I'll thank you for what you shall do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday evening, I brought the first of three messages on the theme, Going Through Storms. My message last week was centered around Jonah, the man who stirred the storm. We discussed his disobedience to God that resulted in God sending a great storm and a great fish. His disobedience started him on a downward journey out of the will of God and ended up down in the whale's belly. We concluded the message with thoughts about Jonah's deliverance from that awful storm. Now I want to emphasized that Jonah's storm was caused by Jonah. He didn't have to go through it. God sent the storm to bring Jonah back to God's will for Jonah's life. Many of the storms that we go through in our lives are sent by God to bring us back to the will of God for our life. Others go through storms to test them. God wants to try our faith. God wants to see if we really do depend on Him and trust Him completely. You know, it's easy when the sun is shining and we're sitting on the mountaintop to tell everybody how much we trust God. It's easy to tell them how we believe the book. But when we get in the storm of testing and proving and trying, there's where we have to put our faith and trust to work. Sometimes these storms are used to prove us faithful to those that are around us. Sometimes God uses the storm to increase our faith. As Christians, we grow in grace and faith as described in the Bible from faith to faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, when we get saved, we all have some faith because God gives us faith to believe. But God wants us to grow in grace and grow in our faith. And the way that happens and the way our faith grows is that God puts us in places where we have to use what faith we have. And as we exercise that faith, we take a step up. And we grow to a little higher level. We grow from faith to faith to faith as we exercise that faith and use that faith. Sometimes the only way God can get us to trust Him and use our faith is put us in a storm. As Christians, God wants us to grow. God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to come to that place where the question marks are erased out of our lives. And we just trust Him. For tonight's message, I want to center our thoughts not only on the storms of our life, but especially upon the one Jesus Christ who can calm that storm, who can still that storm we're going through. And He can do it with just His Word. Notice, first of all, that not all storms of life come as a result of sin on our part. It is true that Jonah's storm was the direct result of his willful disobedience to the Word and the will of God for his life. However, in our text for tonight's message, Jesus tells His disciples to get into a ship with Him and go over to the other side of the lake. In verse number 22, He asked them to go with Him, to get into the boat with Him. So we learn from this that some storms come in our life while we're obeying God and doing His will to the best of our ability. Perhaps you've been trying with all your heart to follow the Lord and to obey His every word. Still, storms have come. You found yourself in a boat that's about to sink, and you're afraid, and you've searched your heart to see if you're right with God and you're doing His will, and you've wept bitter tears as you cried out to God, "Why, Lord? Why?" You cannot find any known or willful sin in your heart or in your life, but still the storms come. I've got good news for you. God's not angry with you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's just testing you. He is proving you. He is strengthening you and teaching you to trust Him. Many times before promotion, the Lord will test us to see if we're ready and trustworthy of new responsibilities. There's some things to remember when you find yourself in the midst of a storm. Number one, if your storm is because of your sin, then get your life right with God. Do it at once. Do it without delay. That's the purpose of the storm. God's not trying to punish you. He's trying to get you back to that place where your relationship with Him is right and your obedience to Him is complete. That's His reason. That's the reason God sent the storm in the first place. And when you're thoroughly right with God, the storm will cease. It did with Jonah. If your storm is a storm of proving or testing or for strengthening, be sure to remember that Jesus is with you. That was the case in our story. God wasn't trying to punish these disciples. They were not out of the will of God. They were doing exactly what Christ told them. They were where they were supposed to be. They were in the boat with the Savior. And the storm came anyway. So, my dear friend, if you're in one of those kinds of storm, the first thing you want to be aware of is that Jesus is with you. Verse 22, He said, "Let us get into the boat." Oh, thank God for that "us" when we're in a storm. That is not just me, myself, and I. It's Jesus and me. Us. Notice, while they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. He was in the boat with them. Notice verse 24. The storm hit and the boat began to fill with water, and they cried, "Master, Master, we perish." And Jesus was right there in the storm with them. So When you find yourself in a storm that's not caused by sin or your sin, it's a proving storm, a strengthening storm, a testing storm. Just be aware the Lord's in the storm with you. Why, He's not just in the storm with you, He's in the boat with you. And understand, secondly, He'll not leave you. Nowhere in this storm did Jesus get out of that boat and leave His disciples alone. And thank God He'll not leave us when we're in the midst of the storm. Why, in one storm, Jesus saw His disciples in that storm. He had told them to go get in the boat. He was on the mountainside praying, and the storm came, and they were afraid. And Jesus came walking to them on the water. And He got into the boat with them. No, when you're in the will of God, and when you're obeying the Master, and you find yourself in the midst of the storm, don't be afraid. Jesus is there with you. He's promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Then thirdly, like His disciples, when we find ourselves in a storm, call upon the Master first. First. Don't try to handle the storm problem yourself. Call on the Master. The one who has the power to still the storm. Too many of God's people are self-reliant instead of learning to rely on Christ, our Master. We try to fix the problem. We try to get through the storm without God. Many times the very purpose of that storm is so that we will learn to trust Him completely. That we will rely upon Him and not our strength. Well, I'm amazed at many Christians when they find themselves into a storm not because of their sin, but to test them and prove them and try them or even strengthen them, the first place they go is to somebody else for help before turning to Jesus. I'm sad to say too often He's the last resort of Christians when He ought to be the very first one we turn to. These disciples didn't enroll in a course how to sail through a storm. They didn't go through a seminar how to deal with storms. When the storm hit, they ran to Jesus. They woke Jesus up. They told Jesus about the problem. They asked Jesus for His help. You know what He did? Wasn't a big deal to Him. He simply spoke. And the winds and the waves obeyed His voice. Oh my. God help us to learn to turn to Jesus. Fourth thing I see in this is the disciples went straight to Jesus first. They didn't put their trust in bailing water. They didn't put their trust in rowing against the storm. They didn't put their trust in their ability to keep the ship afloat. They went to Jesus. Straightway, they went to Jesus. They put their hope and their faith in Him. And can I tell you something? That's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to learn to trust Him. Well, they went to Him and they woke Him up and said, "Master, Master, we perish." He spoke to the winds and then He says, "Where's your faith?" You know what He wanted after all? He just wanted them to trust Him. I think He'd have been more pleased if they'd have woke Him up and said, "Master, would you mind taking care of that wind? Water's getting in the boat. Could you handle that for us?" You know, God wants to be wanted. He wants to be depended upon. He wants to be trusted. If we'd just learn to trust to Him, to bring our problems, our burdens, our fears, our needs to Him. Oh my, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just to trust Him, to obey Him, to have faith in Him. There's an old song that we used to sing when I was a boy growing up down in East Texas, written by B.B. McKinney. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea He'll never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust His word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God, He provides for His own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules and reigns upon His throne. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, all the time, that's what Jesus wanted His disciples to do. Just trust Him. Just have faith in God. Remember, when you're in the worst storm of your life, don't get out of the boat if Jesus is in that boat with you. By the way, you've got a better chance in the boat than out of the boat. Don't get out of the boat. When a storm is blowing, I want to make sure Jesus is with me, because Jesus cannot sink, He cannot drown, and He cannot fail. Many at the first sign of the storm will jump out of the ship. Jonah got out of the boat and into worse trouble. He got out of the boat and in the whale. By the way, when you forsake the boat in the storm, you'll face greater trouble. You know, when storms hit here 2 years ago, many people jumped ship. They left. And guess what? They're the losers today. Oh my, the miracles they have missed, the blessings they have missed, to see God at work miraculously. They've missed that because they got out of the boat. Don't get out of church. The ocean of this world has too many whales waiting for a Christian meal. Jesus is not there in the sea. He was in the ship. He's not out there in the world. He's in the church waiting for His people to trust Him and worship Him. And He wants you to come to church and worship Him and then leave church to go out into the world to tell a world about Jesus Christ. Most people that jump out of the boat, out of the church, go into the world not to witness, but to backslide. Your ship is in the midst of a terrible storm. Just remember that you have a sure anchor that will hold. And Jesus is that anchor. Why, when Paul in the book of Acts was in the midst of that great storm on his way to Rome, they thought they was going to die. They cast out four anchors and wished for the day. The day came. Not one soul was lost. They stayed in the ship. God set that ship adrift and drove it toward land, and it broke apart, and every one of them got to shore safely to a pagan island where Jesus wanted to witness. Don't get out of the ship. Let God perform His purpose and His will. Just hold on to the anchor. Jesus is that anchor. And He'll accomplish His purpose in the storm. Remember, if that storm has come in your life and you're not living in willful sin or known sin, then God has a special spiritual purpose in that storm. Just trust Him. Give Him time to accomplish His purpose. It's a fact that the storms of our life can be fearful. Verse 23, the boat was filled with water. They were in jeopardy. Verse 24, the storm was so bad that they cried, "Master, we perish." Verse 25 said, "They being afraid." It's all right to be afraid. Just learn to run to Jesus with your fears. Cry out to Him. He answers. And I want you to know, dear friend, if you're in a storm and Jesus is not in that boat with you, you're in more trouble than I've got time to tell you about. Second thing I want to point out is the great power of our Savior over the storms of our life. Look at verse 24 and 25. "And they came to Him and awoke Him and saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And He said unto them, 'Where is your faith?' And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, 'What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" Notice, if you will, the Lord responded after their cry unto Him. He wasn't awakened by the storm. He is awakened by the cry of the disciples asking for help. And James reminds us that we have not because we ask not. Many times we find ourselves in a storm and just want God to intervene. But God wants us to acknowledge we need Him and we trust Him. Prayers of God's faithful children, even in times of storm, move God to action. When Jesus spoke to that storm, there was a great calm. What was He waiting for? What was Christ waiting for? He knew that there was a storm. Christ wanted a response from His disciples. He wanted them to cry out to Him, and so it is with us. In our times of hurt and fear and sorrow, in the storms of life we go through, Christ wants a response from us. He wants us to cry out to Him for His help and His intervention. He desired them to turn to Him for help. He wanted to see an increase of their faith. Jesus knew that there was some worse storms coming. He knew that the disciples were going to face some greater crisis down the road. They'd be brought on by Satan's attack because of their stand for Him, for Christ. He wanted their faith to be strengthened and their faith to be increased. He knew that they would remember this occasion and how they ran to Jesus and cried out to Him. He wanted them to remember this storm and to trust and obey the Master regardless of what circumstances they found themselves in. The storm in Jonah's life ended when he turned to Christ in repentance and obedience. And Christ can calm your storm-tossed life if you'll only trust Him and obey Him. What happens when we don't learn the lesson God wants us to learn from our storm? What happens? Well, He puts us through a worse storm until we do learn. Remember, if we flunk our storm test, we have to take the storm over until we pass that test. Jonah flunked the test of his storm and found himself in something worse than a storm, the whale's belly. And oh, dear soul, what I want to say to you tonight is don't run from Jesus, run to Jesus. When He speaks, storms listen. When He speaks, storms calm. And then they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waters obey His voice?" And I want to tell you who He is tonight just very quickly. He is God. He is Creator. The winds, the waves, the storm, the boats, the wood that made the boats, all came into existence when by the power of His omnipotence, He spoke it into existence. What Paul said in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." He is God. He is Creator. And may I say in the second place, who is Him? Who is He? He is Christ, the Anointed One. He is the one promised by God for sinful man all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. He is the one that has been pictured by every little lamb that's been sacrificed and every bullock that's been killed and offered as a sacrifice. He is the one that has been spoken of by the prophets. He is the one that Abraham trusted by faith. He is the one who met with His people in the pre-incarnate fashion, in the theophanies of the Old Testament. He is the Anointed One. He is the one that left heaven's glory and took upon Him flesh and was born a little baby to a little virgin girl in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. He is the one that John introduced to the world by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He is the one who was tempted in all points as we are tempted, and yet without sin. He is the one that was falsely accused and arrested and beaten and spat upon and mocked and nailed to an old rugged cross. He is the one that hung there between heaven and earth with all of the power and omnipotence of God upon Him. And He could have cursed the world, but He opened not His mouth. He is the one, when He did speak, said, "Father, forgive thee. They know not what they do." Who is He? He is the Anointed of God, the Christ, the Savior of sinful man, the one they put in a tool and sealed it. But right on time, 3 days and 3 nights later, up from the grave He arose. He is the one that's able to take the most vile sinner and forgive his sin and give him a life worth living and heaven to look forward to. He is the one that can save us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He is the one that can calm our storms and direct our life and give us a life that is beyond anything that we've ever had the ability to think or dream. Who is this man that speaks and the winds and the waves obey Him? He is not just God. He is not just Creator. He is not just the Anointed of God. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my Master. He is my Lord. He cares about me. He directs me. He has a plan for my life. But not me, only you also. God didn't love Paul any more than He loves you and me. God did not love Abraham any more than He loves you or me. He did not love John the Apostle any more than He loves you and me. He's just looking for men and women today who will trust Him, who will believe Him, who will love Him, who will obey Him, who will depend upon Him, and in times of storm will run to Him. He's my God. He's my Savior. Though He is God of all, He wants to be the God of, wanted to be the God of a 15-year-old barefooted boy in East Texas. And when I called upon Him, He became my God and my Savior. And He loves you with that same kind of love. And He wants to be your God and your Savior. He wants you to learn to trust Him and depend upon Him. And when you go through your storms, He wants to be there in the boat with you. He wants to comfort you and calm the storm. He just wants to seek His purpose and will in our life. Who is He? He's the one with all power and authority in heaven and earth. Power to save sinners, power to change lives, and power to calm our storms. He's aware of your needs. He's aware of your fears. He knows what storm you're going through. He just wants you to trust Him and come to Him without delay. He wants you to have faith in God. He can save the sinner from hell, and He can deliver the child of God from his storm. And He is my God. The songwriter said, "When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon a sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulations, stand by me. In the midst of tribulations, stand by me. When the host of hell assails and my strength begins to fail, Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, Thou who knowest all about it, stand by me. And when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, oh, Thou lily of the valley, stand by me." Father, thank You tonight that You are our God. You can not only send storms in our life, but You can calm the storm. You can still the storm. Help us as Your children to learn to trust You. Help us to learn to obey You. Help us, dear God, to run to you first. Lord, we know that some of our dear people are facing some terrible storms, physical storms, health storms. We pray that they might run to you and trust you and depend on you. And as the winds blow and the waves beat against our boat, may we find shelter and peace and comfort because of our Savior and our Lord.